Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our precious Barry brings me this pillow as an indication of my pride. I think it's the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. But we'll shrink it down. Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just come before you this morning. And your presence, Lord, is wherever we are. And you were with us all the way here as much as you're with us now, but we do always sense the gathering together and the beauty of fellowshipping one with another and that sweetness that adds to just that private relationship with you as well. So, Lord, may we pray this morning, and we lift up Darlene and Doug and Linda and, of course, many others there at the children's ministry thing yesterday and today. And just pray for fruitfulness and guidance, Lord, and may your will be done there. And lead us in this time of prayer here in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing in the Hallelujah Psalms, and this is the third one. We've had 104, 105, 106, and this one ends with Hallelujah once again. So if you aren't in the mood to praise the Lord, hopefully by the time we get into this thing, you will be in the mood. And I don't know what songs to sing, because this psalm has so much history in it that you could go a whole bunch of different directions. I was kind of impressed with Pastor Chuck's commentary. This is the only psalm in the book of Psalms other than 119 where he took it by itself. All the others, he had at least two, sometimes four psalms, the short ones and all. But this one, he just said 106 all by itself. And so he had a lot of commentary on it. Of course, the commentary primarily would lead into areas where, you know, covered with other things as well. But it talks all about Israel. And you know, we see ourselves in this, or at least I hope we do, so much. Israel was blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. But then they turned. But then they turned. But then they turned, you know, delivered out of slavery, delivered out of bondage, and then saying, oh, that we were back in Egypt with the leeks and the garlics. Oh, we had only meat, you know. And we see here that permissive will, he gave them what they wanted, but he sent leanness into their souls. I think every time we make a startling fleshly demand on the Lord and we keep after it, he very well may give us that fleshly demand, but I think there's always a spiritual cost to that. And so if you're looking for a big pillow, I'm not so sure that's... You can have the pillow, but you'll get leanness in your soul. So thank you. Thank you, though, for your thought, Barry. At any rate, I thought we would sing this old song, old for us anyway. Well, again, a favorite around here. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
Yeah.
Well, today, Psalm 106, we begin again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Always good to praise the Lord, isn't it? How much praising of the Lord is there in my life? There should be a lot. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Should be much thanksgiving in my life. For he is good. Understatement. His mercy endures forever. Try to understand that statement. His mercy endures forever. Because in the flesh we can't even think in terms of his forever. For us, forever might be, 6 months. You know, I've been in pain forever, 6 months or whatever it is. But this is forever. His mercy enduring forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Well, we should be able to utter enough of them to really let an unbeliever know about the Lord's creation, right? I mean, they see it every day, but are they really aware of it? You know? Oh, just little things come to mind, like we saw the snowstorm this week in the Midwest, and it's been estimated that in a moderate snowstorm in a big city, there's 1 trillion snowflakes that fall, and not two alike in a trillion. All of them have 6 points, all of them have exactly 60 degrees between the points, and yet 1 trillion of them all different. You're different. You're so unique. Or you could talk about the 100 trillion cells in your body. The DNA in every one of those cells is uniquely you, nobody else. And you can chop your body all to pieces and sew on parts and everything else, but you can't change your DNA. And as soon as conception takes place in the womb, that DNA is assigned to, I say assigned, I don't know what it's right in the Lord's way, but that God puts that DNA in there, and that's that person. Unique. Isn't it amazing? So you think he can listen to some of your, I had trouble with my flat tire this morning, Lord. You know, big deal. It is kind of a big deal if we're on our way to a timely thing. We understand that. Verse 3, blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Oh boy, prayer is needed there. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them. Oh, visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Do you know he values you very, very much? He calls us his inheritance. He values us so much. We are his inheritance. And then verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers who have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Wow. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. So the crossing of the Red Sea was not for the sake of the Israelites. I mean, that was a benefit for them, but it was because of the Lord's mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated him and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And you know, for 24 hours, while they spent that night there, the fog was so thick that the Egyptians couldn't see them. And yet on their side, it was light enough that they could all cross over the Red Sea. And in the morning, when the light came, he lifted the fog. They charged into the waters with their chariots. And he closed the water up on them and drowned the whole Egyptian army. Amazing. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. You remember Miriam was out there with her tambourine dancing and but, verse 13, so tragic, they soon forgot his works. How about you? How about me? How quickly we forget, right? We get in a scrape. We get in a terrible situation. We have no way out. We cry out to him. Hopefully we don't make all kinds of silly promises that we won't keep. But we cry out to him in desperation, and he hears us, and he rescues us. How quickly we forget that, right? Well, it really wasn't as bad as I thought it was at the time. I mean, it really wasn't that big a deal. It was a big deal then, wasn't it? Well, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. He gave them a request, but listen to this. He sent leanness into their souls. Oh, how we want to make sure we're in his perfect will and not in his permissive will, which means that he is answering to a degree anyway that what we want, right? Because if you keep begging him for something, he'll probably give it to you, but at least give you some of it. It's not too damaging. But then you get leanness into your souls. When they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. Verse 19, tragic. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molded image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior. How quickly we can go into idolatry. Moses was up on the mountain about 40 days, and so they go to Aaron, as you know, and they said, we don't know what happened to this Moses. Lead us a God that we can go back to Egypt. And so he says, give me your gold. And he did, and he throws it in. And what happened? A calf jumped out, he says, with all the marks of his engraving tool all over it, right? But at any rate, they forgot the Lord, their Savior, God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous things in the land of Ham, Africa, Egypt, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach. And Moses said, Lord, mercy upon them, and even if it cost me my salvation, unbelievable. But the Lord said, no, the person is responsible for his own salvation according to his responsibility. You can't take the responsibility of others in that regard. Verse 24, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word, but complained in their tents. Have any of you taken a course on complaining and murmuring? Or maybe an advanced course? Yeah, I did when I was about 6 weeks old, I think, you know, and ever since then I've had it down pretty well, you know. Don't need any refreshers, right? But complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised up his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations and to scatter them in the land. So amazing. So amazing. The Jews scattered throughout the world for 1900 years, but now many of them have come back, and eventually they all will. They joined themselves also to Baal of Peor. We may remember Balaam in that deal. And ate sacrifices made to the dead. Ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. 14,000 died in that plague before Aaron intervened, and it was stopped to the generation forevermore. Generation forevermore for Phinehas. He stood up. Amazing. He would go into that tent and thrust a sword through the spear through those two people. But that was why they were crying out to the Lord to forgive them for this terrible sin, and then to come this Israeli with this Midianite gal and takes her into his tent. But Phinehas intervened. They angered him also at the waters of strife. So it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. You know, this is the second time. And they came to him, and they were mad, and they said, you know, we want to go back to Egypt. You brought us out here to die. And so he finally loses it then. But he does the right thing. He goes to the Lord and prays, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, you speak to the rock. So I don't know what he did, but he got up, and he walks out, and he said, you rebels, you, representing God, is really mad at him when he wasn't. And he struck the rock. That's striking Christ twice. That's crucifying Christ twice, because the rock was Christ. You only strike Christ once. It is finished. Tetelestai, it was finished. But he struck it twice, and because he misrepresented God, after 40 years of putting up in the wilderness, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. And we read several times in the scripture that God did that for the sake of the Israelites. Sake of the Israelites. They needed to tell their children that our wonderful Moses, who was so great, did not lead us into the land. Well, why not? Because he misrepresented God. Are you misrepresenting God? Do I misrepresent God? Or how do I misrepresent God? Verse 34, they did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works who served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons to shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters. So we know that our sin of abortion in this nation is not something new that has never happened before. The Bible kind of full of it, isn't it? All the nations around them were doing that, and they were told them, don't mingle with those nations, and don't do that, but they did it. And it was an abomination to God then, it's an abomination to God now. The land was polluted with blood, and they were defiled by their own works, and they played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hands of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought under subjection into their land and under their hand. Many times he delivered them. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. If you ever want to read a summary of that, just read the book of Judges. There's at least seven cycles in there where they go through all these cycles. Verse 44, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. What a merciful God. And for their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. So that's kind of the history. And he closes, save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the Gentiles, being done right now and will be done, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Have you been saved? Yes. Are you giving thanks to the holy name of God? Are you triumphing in your praise to him? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen, Amen, so be it. And then closing with Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Father, the psalm is so thorough and so complete, we can not get our hands and hearts really around it, but we get the message, Lord, I believe. Help us this morning to use these moments together to pray as you would guide us, Holy Spirit. And may we pray in accordance with that leading in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here, and Lord, how true that is. Your goodness is never ending. Help us to be lights today, Lord. Help your love to be shown through each of us, Lord, that like a moth drawn to the flame, people would be drawn to you. And as we have prayed, not to us, but to you, Lord. Not unto us, but unto you. Thank you for these precious ones who faithfully come and standing for you, Lord. And as the difference between light and darkness seems to be a little more intensified, the good news is even better news, Lord. There is no hope. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's nothing apart from you. And you have given us the good news. May it not be held captive inside of us, but may it flow forth in every situation that you put us in as an open door for your love to shine forth. In Jesus' name, amen.